This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Hey, so this is episode 134 of the IT and the D Show. We've got DTE, Joel Miller is in studio with us to talk about their app and a lot of other cool fun stuff they've got going on. We've also got John here from yourcomiccon.com talking about his cons that are coming up in the area, as well as Pure MishCon. So it's going to be a fun show. Stick around.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
3, 2, 1.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Magumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
So yeah, you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
Really? Should we talk about this?
Tag team.
Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Jet Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D. Comic.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Hey, so hello and welcome to episode 134 of the IT and the D Show. That's what I get for keeping an earphone, or an earpiece in my ear while I'm trying to do this. Exactly. We are flying. We are flying Bobless tonight, so I'm pulling double duty. I said duty. So we have Dave the Geek here with Nuri the FNG. Bob is off allegedly on business in Miami. I'm sure he's loving the sights, such as it is.
Right, like the beaches and the palm trees.
Yeah,
women wearing no clothes.
Apparently, based on his Facebook updates. Yes. So we are joined tonight. We have Joel here from DTE to talk about their app and everything they have going on. We also have John here from yourcomiccon.com about the Pure MishCon that's coming up and some of the other stuff he has going on. And then we've also got all kinds of the usual usual fun and excitement, all the news items and events that caught our eye over the past week.
The wacky hijinks.
Yeah, exactly. The wacky mayhem ensues. And of course, the recap of all that went on at Fantasticon in Lansing this weekend.
Dude, I'm so mad that I missed that.
I was up there.
I rode a bull.
Yeah, I went by there.
I rode a mechanical bull. It totally happened. I'm so happy.
Do we have video?
There's video.
There's absolutely video.
But before we get started, we got a little bit of business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Casper Mattresses. So basically, sleeping is one of the most important things you do, right? You spend a third of your life in a mattress. So why do it in a crappy mattress? You know, a lot of you probably have hand-me-downs, things that your family gave you, things that you inherited, you know, things that like previous relationships have slept in that bed.
That are just tainted.
Right. I got a good story about this. I'll tell you after the show. But basically, Casper is this awesome brand who basically – it's an American-made mattress. And basically, it is the most awesome. It's latex foam and memory foam. So you've heard memory foam. You've heard of memory foam mattresses. Basically, this is the right sink, the right bounce, no matter how you sleep. I feel like that deserves a ding. And we know buying a mattress is a big thing. It's almost like buying a car nowadays. But Casper makes it easy. So there's a risk-free trial return policy. So basically they'll deliver it to your house and you have 100 days to tell if you like that mattress or not. And if you don't like it, they'll pick it back up. So basically, you know, it's – and the prices are so good. $500 gets you a twin-size mattress. $950 gets you a king-size mattress. Do you know what it costs, Dave, for a – competitor mattress made out of memory foam?
Sadly, I absolutely do.
So it's $4,000 to get the competitor's mattress.
Well, and everything I've read, and Bob has one. You know, documented the whole story about, you know, it shows up in a tightly packaged little box.
It's like one of those things you
and you know, you crack it open and it like explodes.
It goes funk.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you're supposed to let it sit overnight and all that fun, like they tell you what to do when it gets there and all that stuff. But I mean, it's he loves it. And honestly, if this is not a selling point, I got to be honest, I don't know what is. Bob's wife has said she loves the mattress because it is so comfortable. She doesn't even hear Bob come in late at night and start snoring when he gets there.
Dude, I slept in the same room as Bob, and I think that's BS.
I genuinely don't know how that's possible.
Love you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good sign, though.
Yeah, so if that's not a selling point for you, I truly do not know what is.
No, it's made in America, and you can get $50 off that mattress by going to casper.com/ITinTheD. And if you ask for any kind of coupon codes, it's IT in the D. So it gives you $50 off an already ridiculously well-made American product at a great price. So check them out, Casper. Thanks so much for your support.
It's very, very cool. But yeah, so hey, just to dive in, you know, as I mentioned, Bob and I took off and went up to Lansing over the weekend.
Why did I go?
I don't know. You were feeling the burn this weekend.
I was. It's great. all the pictures right now showing Bernie Sanders. You can see me in the background.
It is phenomenal. Nuri is in every national photo covering the Bernie convention that happened.
Gigantic head sitting in the background.
And you weren't wearing an IT in the D shirt, you bastard.
And he wasn't being tackled by Secret Service.
No, thank goodness.
That's a bonus. Right. That's, yeah.
Have no sense of humor at all.
I was going to say, because when I first saw your post about it, I found out, you know, today exactly how little of a sense of humor Secret Service agents have. I was like, oh my God, what did he do?
It was like, what happens if we burn this place down? And it didn't go over that well. So.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, Secret Service.
Sorry.
Not sorry.
But yeah, so we went to Lansing. So Fantasticon, you know, we went to the one in Mount Clemens back in November. And, you know, had a phenomenal time, had a great time with all the attendees, all the guests. You know, that's where we met Mike and Ming, you know, and got that ball rolling here. Yeah, that's where we met the Ghostbusters, which we hung out with again last weekend at Great Lakes Comic Con, hung out again this past weekend up in Lansing. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see the different shows and just different dynamics. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we went there for a couple of different reasons. I mean, we wanted to – so Brimstone is the host of Grindhouse Radio.
Yeah, I talked to him.
Yep,
yeah.
That's now syndicated on our network. Interesting dude. So, yeah, we talked with him, had a you know, great – you know, moderated his panel discussion, had a fun time there, which was interesting because you figure Bob and I really don't know – the definition of either the word moderate or moderate, no matter how you pronounce the syllable emphasis. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good time. And then, of course, you know, Saturday night we went out, found a great little bar, Tony Miello, one of the guys from the Gooder Guys show here on the network. is an artist, and he was telling us about this place. We got to go there. We got to go there. We got to go there. And so we're like, all right, man. Well, you know, you said you scouted this place. We'll go. Well, it wasn't until we actually hop in the Uber to get there that we find out that it's 20 minutes away from the hotel. So we gave him a little grief about that. But honestly, this is a bar. If you're in Lansing, for the love of God, go to Tequila Cowboys. Or Tequila Cowboy, sorry. It is huge. Is it huge? It's huge. It's a ginormous – I think capacity – they said capacity is 1,800.
Jesus Christ.
It has – you know,
it's not a bar. It's an arena.
Oh, I know. It's got – yeah. It's got the main – you know, the main bar is enormous and seats probably, I don't know, a good 80, 100 people around it. Then they've got, you know, the dance floor. They've got a separate karaoke room, which we totally took over and had a good night there. And then, you know, and then, of course, Bob and I wound up, you know, as people were, you know, leaving on us and just dying, Bob and I just sat at the bar and started talking to random people because, well, that's what we do.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, so it was a good night. Met a lot of the locals, had a great, great night. Yet another good Fantasticon show, met some new people. Saw a lot of familiar faces.
Yep. Yeah, I was walking around there for about 3 hours with me and my sons. Yeah.
And most importantly, as you heard, as we were kicking things off, we met Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, we missed him.
We met Lando.
We waited. We walked. We were in the wrong place. I don't know.
We got our JCPenney glamour shots photo taken with him. That's really the only way I can describe it. I got to get those posted out on the IT and the D page and not on Twitter. They're on my wall, but I'm clearly not friends with everybody here. Yeah, just a great time. Got a great drop from him. He was so personable. And, of course, you know, Bob's walking around in his PBR jacket. So Sunday comes around. And, you know, he's still wearing the jacket. And, you know,
people. Looks a little slept in by now.
Yeah. And, you know, people are like, oh, you know, it's, you know, really recognizable. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, people were walking up and talking to me all night long. You know, it was kind of a pain in the ass. I'm like, yeah. Let's just be honest. You knew what you were doing when you put it on. And, yeah, just run with it.
I think Bob works for Pabst. I really do. Well, let's just go things to cover.
But so here's what we learned. Billy Dee is apparently coming back into the Colt 45 fold.
Oh, Jesus.
Apparently, PBR is now bringing Colt 45 back, and they've reached out to him, and he's going to do a run of endorsements and commercials and that kind of stuff again, just like the good old days.
You got to ask him first, for sure, if you're bringing back anything with Colt 45.
It's the tip of the hipster spear, it sounds like. It. Colt 45 and two zigzags, baby, that's all I need. Good song. Anyway.
So, yeah, it was a great, great time. You know, obviously, you know, found stuff. Every con we go to, find stuff for us, find stuff for the kids. It's just
money.
Exactly. And then Jeremy London from Mallrats. Actually, I'll cue that up for the first break. Just a great conversation, very down to earth. Just had a great chat with him as well. Really, really cool guy. Glad to see, because like a couple people were like, oh, you know, had a bad experience with him. And, well, you know us. It's like dive bars. Oh, it's a terrible dive bar. Yeah, we're going.
Let's go, yeah.
So, yeah, no, had a great – so I don't know what was wrong with them, but had a great chat.
Yeah, I talked to him for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to lure my son. My 10-year-old was shy, and he's trying to, you know, get him to chat and everything. Yeah, he was a really good guy.
Yeah,
really
very personable. Guy. Very, very good guy. So I guess another good order of business. So Thursday is our Pink Slip Party event.
Dude, I'm so excited.
We're taking over the Majestic again. We're actually starting to get flooded with recruiters that are looking for name tags as they walk in, as well as resumes are starting to come in. So folks, if you don't know about this, you know, we do an event every month. We do these Pink Slip Party events twice a year. They really are dedicated to just trying to help people find new gigs here, you know, as always, people network and hang out and meet people in the industry. But, I mean, they really are the bigger version of what we do. And so, you know, we're expecting about 1,000 people to fill up the Majestic again. You know, Nuri's going to be DJing.
Wiki.
Yeah, exactly. Our buddies, the Ghostbusters, are going to be in, you know, walking around.
They are a great bunch of guys.
They are such a good bunch of guys. So,
if you guys have never been to this is like the most badass job fair / networking events on steroids. And so many places are like, no, we'll charge you to hang out with us. You know, we may have the area code of the local area in our name, and we'll charge you $20 to hang out. No, screw that. Come hang out.
Yeah, totally free to get in. It doesn't matter if you're a recruiter, a job seeker, or just looking to hang out. There's no cover. There, you know, yes, you have to buy your own drinks. It is what it is. But you know, we're bringing out food. You know, so Sergeant Pepperoni's is right there. We're going to be bringing pizzas in.
And it's curated, so there's not going to be any, like, douche canoes peddling mm-hmm. Cutco knives.
This we have, like, spent 15 years.
I worked for Cutco Knives. For about three weeks.
I did too for about 1 week.
We've spent 15 years kicking everybody out of this group that doesn't belong. It's a good, solid crowd of folks. So, like I said, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're looking to hire, get hired, or just meet people in the industry. Thursday night, the Majestic Theater, starting at 5 o'clock. We'll be there till, well, we always say, question mark. It'll probably start winding down around 8 o'clock, and then the certain core group of us will start finding other bars to go to.
Go to the bowling alley.
Exactly. And then bad things will happen because that's what we do.
Nice.
But hey, so from a news and events perspective, I hear you had a very close miss today, Nuri.
Dude, it's like one of those moments. It's like Final Destination.
Right.
Except for your computer.
The butterfly flapped its wings in Japan and you managed to not be – yeah.
Freaking missed it. So – I do a lot of BitTorrenting, you know, that bell
that was accidental.
Completely accidental. So I BitTorrent legal ISOs of things like Linux distributions and stuff. And for the Mac, I use something called Transmission, and it's the best open source BitTorrent client for the Mac. And basically somebody hacked their servers between April or March 5th and March 7th and inserted a CryptoLocker-like malware into the image.
Oops.
Yep. So basically 7,000 people downloaded this infected version, and basically it waits 3 days, connects to a server, encrypts all your stuff, and demands one Bitcoin to unlock all your stuff. This is the first example of a Mac CryptoLocker type malware in existence.
Well, which actually kind of dovetails into another story where, you know, basically the nightmare scenario for Bitcoin played out.
Yeah. So now you're waiting like how long?
43 minutes for a Bitcoin transaction to process. If not stalled out and dead completely.
I want my files back.
Exactly. And your computer's locked up.
I want my files back. No. You know, it's okay if you're just like on the dark net buying weed or something. You can take 40 minutes for that, right? But these are my damn files I'm talking about. So yeah, either way, so if you've downloaded Transmission or updated it between the 5th of March and the 7th of March, download the new update right now. It'll remove it. Apple's already updated their signatures, so hopefully you'll be okay. Crazy shit.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I heard an interesting story about Waze. You know, I think we all use it. You know, it's a phenomenal little app.
It's the best. It's owned by Google.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
It just apparently if you're, say, oh, I don't know, an Israeli soldier over in Israel or Palestine, do not turn off the option that says keep me away from places where it's not safe for Israelis to go. Because, you know, the story broke that Israeli soldiers got hosed using Waze and wound up in the middle of a Palestine camp.
Wait, hold on. So Waze tells me where the cops are, but it can't tell me where my warring factions.
Oh, no, but it can. But if you but apparently, and so like Waze was quick to react.
Turn left.
Yeah, exactly. Where they said, oh, well, you know, we have other options that are, you know, that are available in that area.
Drive past the encampment on the right.
Yeah, exactly. Avoid mortar in 3, 2. But yeah, so they apparently, like, the soldiers had apparently turned off the option that said, keep me out of danger zones.
Just give me the fastest damn route. I'm trying to get where
exactly.
I'm going.
Yeah, phenomenally brilliant. And, late breaking news today, and I'm curious as to your take on that. So we've all heard, and I'm sure we've all watched it or seen the stills at least, Aaron Andrews. You know, got, you know, dude, you know, found out what room she was in, got the room next door in the hotel, you know, set up a peep cam, put like a 4.5 minute video out a few years ago. And, you know, they found out who it was, went to a civil trial. Verdict came down today after it was a 7-day trial. Verdict came down today, $55 million.
Whoa.
They found 51% liability with said stalker. And 49% liability with the hotel group. So and I get it to some degree because this guy was able to find out what room she was in by walking up to the hotel front desk, doing a little social engineering.
Can I be next to Aaron Andrews?
Yeah, exactly. Let's be next to Aaron Andrews, please. How do you not see me? Anyway.
How thick are the walls in your hotel?
Right. Yeah, exactly. How large of a – hypothetically speaking, how large of a drill bit would I need to get to the hotel?
1/8 inch? No.
But so and they gave him the room number, and he requested the room next door and got it. So I can see where they're a little culpable there. I get it. And well, and odds are good. You know, this guy's already been in jail for a couple of years, so it's not like he's paying out, you know, 51% of, you know, $55 million. But I'm a little –
What irks you about it?
I'm a little ambivalent about it. Like I'm, okay. I'm glad she won. I do because I mean it was a horrible invasion of privacy.
Completely.
The guy was a gigantic raging douche canoe of a stalker to actually do this and then put it on the net and you know listening to her talk, you know she does. I mean she's had you know anxiety attacks and you look at it, you know she was you know trying to be taken seriously, you know as a sports reporter. You know, in something that's a world that's very full of, you know, objectification of women from the get-go. Yeah. And then to have that leak out and every player you talk to, you know, has seen it. Yeah. Every co-host, you know, has seen it. Like, how do you move on from
kind
that?
Kind of ruins your career in some way, right?
She's now doing Dancing with the Stars. Like, she's the host there, you know, and so, I mean, I can kind of understand that. I'm curious to see how this is going to play out, like through the appeals process and everything else. Cause I mean, you know, the hotel chains are going to appeal because, well, they have to by default.
Right. So somebody at the front desk screwed up.
Oh yeah. That's the guy or the person. I don't know if it didn't really reveal if it was a guy or a girl. But that's the person I would love to know where they are right now.
Mm-hmm. Taco Bell.
Yeah. Do they have a payroll deduction starting tomorrow?
Or? No, they're Taco Bell.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure they're not working for the hotel anymore.
Oof.
On the same front, as far as I'm a little torn, there was a model that went and did a bunch of stock photo shoots and in a variety of positions, a lot of different facial expressions. And apparently one of her photos was used in a Burger King ad where it's an elongated sandwich and her face is turned to the left and her mouth is open with a big surprised look on her face.
Could it be a phallic shaped
sandwich? It's completely suggestive as to you know, I mean it's yeah, you see it, you know what they're going for. And she's now, you know, she took to the web just outraged about, you know, the Burger King used this ad for this and I didn't consent to this and then but you did.
I'm sure she signed some kind of release.
You signed a release that those stock photos were out there. Burger King came out and said, here's the purchase of said stock photos for us to use them.
Yes.
So you really have no recourse here, but it's still a social media to do now. And that's the part of that bugs me. Like, so you knew what you were getting into when you did it. You knew that you were signing those photos away.
You paid handsomely for them.
Or even if you weren't.
Right.
That's not their problem.
That's true.
You know, you took a gig. You signed the deal. You took the photos. They're out there.
There was also I remember there was a Korean lady a couple months ago who was in an ad.
Yes.
That had her – she's very beautiful. Her husband was very attractive and all their kids were completely derp.
Yes.
And basically it was an ad for plastic surgery.
And it became a meme.
She said the same thing. She's like, this picture has ruined my life.
Yeah, it became a meme. And yeah, it's bizarre how often that happens.
I think if you're a model, you should probably know what you're getting into when you're –
or think of worst case scenario.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely changed because every picture goes everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
Every picture goes everywhere. It's true.
Let's see. So what else do we have that's good? Actually, you know what? We touched – we were hanging out with him this weekend.
Kanye West?
The new Ghostbusters trailer. Was not hanging out with Kanye West. Thank God. Although, you know what? I'll give this like 8 seconds. So Kim Kardashian apparently posted yet another naked selfie.
But it wasn't naked. It had on Instagram.
With a little black – but yeah. Why is anyone surprised? And why have we not all seen her?
She like, did a magazine cover not too long ago where she's completely nude. Bottle of champagne on her ass.
Yeah, video.
Yeah, it's good.
Ray J.
Yeah,
yeah. We all saw that too. Anyway.
Hashtag not interested.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know who you're voting for yet you know everything about Kim Kardashian, you might be part of the problem. Or you might be a Trump voter. But no, so the new Ghostbusters trailer came out and it's getting mixed reviews. And I'm not I'm going to put this out there. This is my opinion. I'm just saying. I'm not thrilled by it. It's not because it's a remake. I kept an open mind. It's because it's not funny. It's because it's not that good. I wanted to like it. I really, really did. It's almost like the trailer opens with an homage to the original and then diverges. Like, are we supposed to forget the original happened? Is there a connection to the original? It doesn't even touch on that, which is even more confusing. And then, like I said, I just not like I'm not feeling it.
I didn't see it, actually. I didn't miss the trailer.
Really?
Yeah. I missed it too. I did see – there's a Reddit user who recut the trailer.
Which is like, phenomenal.
This is so much better.
Exactly. Yeah. Why are you not working for the – yeah.
Correct. I feel like that's where trailers are going there. People just like – the movie companies put the entire freaking plot line. Wow.
Dirk, Dirk.
Sorry. They put the plot line in the trailer, every last bit of it.
Ever since episode one, man. When Star Wars episode one, I'm still stunned and a little bit bitter that they put the Darth Maul double-sided lightsaber in the trailer. Like, that was one of the most jaw-dropping jaw-dropping moments in that movie. And you knew it walking in.
I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
But speaking of Kanye, he's a Pirate Bay user?
Yeah, it's kind of great. He posted a picture somewhere, and it basically had in the background him on a Pirate Bay website downloading an application with a synthesizer in it.
Yeah.
And it's even better, he was on YouTube listening to music. As a founder of Tidal, he should probably have access to listen to music.
You would think so.
But he goes to YouTube to listen to music. And then so what's great about this is that Deadmau5 calls him out. Deadmau5, one of my favorite electronic music artists. I flew up here from Tampa when I lived in Tampa to see Deadmau5. And it was a great show. And he basically is like, hey, Kanye, you're a dick. Pay $200 for the synthesizer software. And he basically – it's like someone loan Kanye $200, pray for Yeezy.
Well, he's $53 million in debt.
He's hitting up Zuckerberg for $1 billion off Twitter. So yeah.
But then Kanye fires back and he's like, hey, whose job is to carry the mouse head on the plane? Do you check it? My little daughter likes Minnie Mouse. Can you come and bring a Minnie Mouse head instead? How do you pronounce your name? Is it Deadmau5 and do you do birthday parties? I kind of love this whole thing. So actually, all week, Deadmau5 has changed his name to Deadmau5, which I totally
nice.
Like, so. But Kanye, seriously, buy your damn software.
All right. Well, hey, we are bumping up against our first break already.
Wow. That was quick.
This one's going to fly. So this is episode 134 of the IT and the D Show. We will be back in just a few minutes talking with Joel from DTE, and we'll see you in just a sec.
This is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from hot Floridian sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Single Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. See IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
All right, hey, and welcome back to episode 134 of the IT and the D Show. We're getting ready to roll in with Joel from DTE. But before we do that, just one little order of business to handle. So here's the deal. Do you love books but you never have time to read them? Audible.com has the perfect solution. You get audiobooks. You listen to those books you've been meaning to read while on the go. It's actually come in handy for me. I've listened to a couple of the Star Wars books that are out that I've wanted to read, haven't had a chance to. Anyway, at the gym, during your commute, Audible.com provides over 180,000 titles from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. Their app is free. It works on iPhones, iPad, Android, and Windows Phone. Dude, Mike Dennis will be so happy.
Dude, I think about it. I mean, just think about all the people who are in sales or in IT who drive between customer sites, spend time in rental cars and airports, crap like that. You don't have time to read. This is seriously the best way to get good, solid quality audiobooks.
It really is. And you can also download and listen on your Kindle Fire and over 500 MP3 players. Unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own the books. You can access your books anytime and anywhere right from your smartphone. Audible.com also has the great listener guarantee. If you decide you don't like the book you choose, and this is actually cool, I did this once, no worries. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. Just for listeners, Audible.com is offering a free 30-day trial membership for our listeners. Go to audible.com/IT in the D. That's audible.com/IT in the D today to start your free trial. Again, show your support for IT in the D and get a free 30-day trial at audible.com/IT in the D.
Nice.
And away we go.
Sweet.
So, Joel from DTE, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So I guess let's just as a brief intro, let's talk about who go ahead and tell us who you are and what you do.
So I work at DTE as the principal supervisor for energy management tools. And the tool that I'm most responsible for is DTE Insight.
And by the way, that's a cool damn title. I mean, my title is extraordinarily lame in comparison. Principal supervisor of energy management tools.
It's very corporate.
God, no, I love it.
Sounds great. Very cool.
I'd be in bars and be like, hey, I work in energy management tools. Right. I totally would.
So let's talk about Insight. You know, let's talk about the DTE app. I mean, there's some, I'm not going to lie. I've seen a lot of commercials lately pushing this, you know, where DTE is pouring a lot of money back into, you know, infrastructure and that sort of stuff. And I think this ties into it because it's a good – I have it – it's a good app to figure out where you're using, where you're wasting energy, and what's out there. So, I mean, like from a DTE perspective, who needs this app?
So we have two different customer groups that are really focusing on this right now. The first one is your community, which is the people that really are after the data. So you have this advanced meter that's hanging on your house. It's a digital meter. About 2009, we started deploying these, and in about 2012, the community, you know, the nerd community basically started saying, hey, I'd like to really see that data that's sitting out there. And so it took a couple years. So about 2012, we started really looking at how to do that. And 2014, we released the first version of the product. And so immediately we said, hey, it'd be a great goal to have 10,000 downloads by the end of the year. We released in July. We had 60,000 downloads in
nice.
And all of these were like early adopters that have said, hey, I've been waiting to see this data. And so a big part of the app is really helping customers identify what's the patterns of their day. Where are they wasting their energy? And the data is really kind of pointing at that.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I grabbed it because I got annoyed because I kept getting the emails from DTE saying, here's the average consumption use in your area. Here's your neighbor's consumption use, and whoop, here's your use.
Yeah. And people are surprised. And the thing I try to, you know, thing I really try to point out is look at your energy in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And if you can figure out what that kind of what we call the valley floor, your base load, look at that. And I said, if you can drop that by 100 watts, you're going to save yourself between $10 and $15 a month. And so if you're sitting
– not insignificant.
And the thing is, if you're sitting there at 600 watts and you can get it down to 100 watts – and 100 watts is really lean, but it's not impossible to get to. If you can get that down there, you're starting to save some really serious money every month.
See, what really gives me pause though, Joel, is what is DTE's goal in this, right? So you're the electric company for Detroit metro areas. Why do you want to save anybody money?
So ultimately, right?
I'm a little bit of a capitalist here.
No, they are a strange business, you know, for sure.
Well, ultimately, it's all about not building another power plant. Because if we need to build another power plant, it's all of our customers that basically pay for that.
Right.
So the energy efficiency program is all about delaying the need to build another power plant and extending the life of the ones we already have. So, you know, the whole point is really to use energy more efficiently. And so we're pointing out how to do that. Waste is waste. And what we really want to do is eliminate the waste. You're using energy that has no value at that point.
So I guess for the geek or the non-geek community that's out there, like what are some of the most common things that you guys have seen that are the typical energy wasters that people need to pay attention to?
So a great example are stereo speakers on your computer. So you have this, you know, really nice speaker system. This is the experience I went through. Really nice speaker system. It's sitting there waiting to play sound. But if it's a 100-watt system, it's burning 100 watts waiting for that first note. And so it's using that 24 hours a day sitting in standby mode. So the simplest thing to do is put that
on. So you're saying I should not leave my PS4 and Xbox One just on all the time to download updates as they happen?
Well, you may have heard this on the radio. That'd be a great place to start.
And I think cable boxes too, right? Like your Comcast box is like ridiculous when it comes to waste.
So the thing I try to say is, you know, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and walk around your house safely. But walk around your house.
In the dark. In to the save dark. Energy.
But look for little LED lights. The little LED lights are saying, hey, I'm using energy over here. And so these are beacons in the middle of the night that are saying, hey, is this something that needs to be on now? And so if you – you know, if it's a DVR and you're recording stuff, then the answer is yes. If you're not recording anything, well, thank you for your business.
Yeah.
So what's this app going to tell me? I mean, how granular does it get? You know, how can I realistically
– You know what? Let's take – before we get to the app, let's take a step back because there was all of the – I don't even say all of the. There was some uproar about the smart meters. Can we please, for the love of God, put to bed the smart meters are not going to eat your brain?
And do they give me cancer?
The short answer is no.
There's a long answer?
The long answer is no.
Yeah, the longer answer is hell no, but he's not allowed to say that. the smart meters are there to make life easier on everybody. And then that translates into – what's then available to you from an in-your-house perspective.
So, I mean, there's two sides of that conversation. The one side of the conversation is, you know, why do we have advanced meters? Well, the reality is that we can get meter reads daily, and that hourly data is what we deliver initially into the app. So there's efficiency that you're taking cost out of the cost of doing business, which is meter reading. And so that's the advanced meters. That's one side of it.
But you have to pay somebody basically to walk around, to like fight people's dogs, to climb around in the snow.
There's all sorts of risks that goes with that. I mean, you know, dogs, snow, you know, all sorts of issues that go with that.
Plus, but it's one data point a month too, right?
Well, and that's the whole thing. I've run other programs where we've looked just at billing data, and the data is in this great big block of 30 days of information. And it says, hey, find the waste in that.
Right. You can't do it.
You can't do it. And so the other side of this is the advanced meter gives you 24 reads a day. So out of the box, when you get the app, you're going to see hourly reads. So every hour, you're going to be able to see what your load is or how much energy you're using hour by hour by hour. So that gives you a little bit more information, more data points, more information about what to do. In the app, you can also request an energy bridge. An energy bridge basically connects directly with your meter, and now you can see 5-second data.
Yeesh.
So you can see, you know, hey, I'm just turning off my computer, and 5 seconds later, you can see how much energy you just reduced it by.
Well, that's truly for the people that put the hyphen in anal retentive. That's who that's for.
Well, but, you know, we had this conversation about how much energy is something using.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have a nice computer at home, and I was leaving it on all the time because when I sat down on my computer, I wanted to use it.
Right. I don't want to be bothered with the power-up sequence and logging in. I just want to go.
Go. Well, the two monitors and the computer and the speaker system was 300 watts.
Yeesh.
You know, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I think I'm going to put that on a power strip, and I'll be patient, and I'll, you know, take a few minutes to boot it up and use it. But it's those – changes in behavior that can really make a difference in your bill.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, honestly, one of the best features that you guys – and it's not the app or anything like that, but one of the best features DTE offers that I'm stunned that people don't know about is the whole budget-wise thing. Like, I don't understand why more people don't use that. When my wife was pregnant with our first child, she was, you know – 8 months pregnant in July, you know, leading into August. And when I got hit with the $700 DTE bill,
Jesus.
Well, because she had the air conditioning cranked to Arctic for that entire month. That's when I was like, holy crap, there's got to be a better way for me to do this. Stumbled across BudgetWise bill. And I do. I'm one of your evangelists. I'm like, do you know about – no, I didn't know about that. Go do that. Nice same bill every month. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, and where this app goes is it says, okay, we're going to even reduce that even further. You know, I've cut my own bill in half just by becoming more aware of where I'm using energy and what I'm using it for.
Well, and I guess that's part of the battle is the data being available is one thing. Getting people to take action as a result of that data is another.
Yeah. So the so one group of our customers are all about getting the data and analyzing the data. The other group is exactly what you're talking about, which is they're saying, hey, I just want to cut my bill.
Yeah.
I really don't want to – and I really just want to get to the point where I can say, hey, just show me what I'm supposed to do. Give me the formula and let me implement it and then I can have a lower bill, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is you got to kind of do a little bit of homework in between. You know, you can't just get there. So studying your data and kind of learning your patterns is really, really one of the first
things
you can
do. It'll never work for Americans. It'll never. we just want to be told what to do and how to do it, and just give me the answer.
So a lot of what we're doing now is we're really trying to focus on, you know, let me give you a couple simple, really quick things you can do and see that really nice big jump in the beginning.
So now does it already or are there plans to, like with the, you know, the integration between the app and the smart meter, like how do I go about finding out which outlets in my house are the ones that are the biggest energy drains? Like how do I – like how – for those who haven't seen the app, like is it easy? Is it like do I have to be a techie to get into this?
Absolutely not. It's really – we really have focused a lot on the user interface. We really have made it. The big difference we've made in our app compared to any other apps in the industry is we went to this what we call energy clock. And it's a dial and it shows you your energy hour by hour, minute by minute, just like a clock. So you quickly just look at it. You can say, hey, what was going on between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning? I don't remember having a party.
So, I was at the office, so I'm asking my wife what the hell was going on.
It was a really good party.
So the information is what you're really starting to focus on. Obviously I spent a lot of time studying my own data and I've called home and said the freezer door is open.
What?
And she said, how do you know it's the freezer door? Well, once you start looking at the data enough, you can recognize the patterns.
Right.
And the refrigerator, when the freezer door is open, behaves differently than when the refrigerator door is open. But you can also make the mistake of calling home and said, what were you baking? Is there cookies available when I get home?
This is ridiculous.
I was trying to surprise you, ass.
That was not a great conversation. I did not get those cookies. They were gone.
I'm looking at yesterday, and I used 23.2 kilowatt hours for my house for the day. Everything is normal except between 10 and 11 a.m. and 11 a.m. and 12 noon. I use like a large piece of energy, and I'm trying to figure out what that was. I work from home, so I mean,
were you on conference calls, dialed into someplace?
Always on internet calls. Porn. I think that's what it was.
Internet porn does not use any more kilowatts per hour. I've done research. But this is really interesting. So I did something yesterday between those hours, and now I'm like, you know, I so much more than just
working on your set for Thursday night. Were you?
Well, yeah, but I was slacking off and watching like Orange is the New Black, or right. The new House of Cards came out this weekend, but. So interesting data.
Well, and it's – and so the – I mean the app is free.
The app is free. The energy bridge is free. The savings are all yours.
Nice. And then did you guys develop this yourself?
So win. I'm waiting for the downside. I'm waiting for the end then.
Did you guys develop this here? Did you farm it out to another company or how did you guys build
this? So this is a completely made in Michigan solution.
Nice.
Completely
made Always in love to hear that.
Which we laughed about something. Was it last week? The guys who did Pure Michigan?
That are now in Florida. Company? Yeah.
Yep. So nice. Vector Foreman Royal Oak was our app developer and
we know them. They've been in here.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. I work with them every day. Great user interface, great concepts. great execution. And there was a lot of work we had to do on the DTE side to make sure that the data that we're getting from the advanced meter was matched up with the app. So,
and consumable by an API, probably things like that.
A lot of work to make it all come together. And the thing is when you look at the app, and this is what we hear from other utilities, they go, we're just amazed how deep and how rich it is. So you're saying, well, what could I do? And in the app, we have a whole bunch of project cards where you fill out a home survey, and then the home survey says, hey, here are all the projects that are relevant to your home. So if you say, hey, I've got natural gas, forced air, heat, you're not going to see tips about boiler tune-ups.
Right.
And so we did a lot of work to make sure that, you know, you're only seeing stuff that's relevant to your home. The Energy Bridge was developed by Vectorform, but all the prototyping work was all done here. And the Energy Bridges are manufactured at Saline Electronics.
Wow.
So all the electronics work is done right here in Michigan as well.
100% Michigan. That's so good. So I feel like between this and like my Nest app, I totally have control over. I mean, those are the two largest things I can get my energy expenditure from. So.
Yeah. So a lot of, you know, you were asking the question, what was all the energy? And the first thing I do is I look at my Wi-Fi connected thermostat and I say, okay, was it HVAC? Was it heating and cooling that was causing that? And when it's not that, then you start going down the path of like, well, what else was plugged in?
Dude, that's so great. No, I think DTE is an amazing I've never been like as happy about my power company before. Between this and the outage maps, I mean, like if my power goes out, I can log in. I know exactly what's going on. I know exactly when it's going to be fixed. I mean, you guys do a lot of really cool work to make your consumers educated and informed and good consumers, really. I mean, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, real cool thing about storms. So when we have a storm come through the area, those two apps, just the usage just goes through the ceiling.
Well, I'm sure it's the first place I look.
And so the outage map is telling you, hey, do we know about your outage? Has it been reported? Getting updates and all that. If you have an energy bridge and you're watching that, you actually know exactly what minute the power came back on. So you can say, is the power on? And if you're at the office, you can go there. I really use it another way, which is I can see when my sump pump is running because it's a motor and it's going to spike and it's just going to be a vertical spike on the dial. And so when it's raining, I'm checking it to say, okay, is it running? And I've definitely have seen it when A, it wasn't running, or B, when it was stuck running.
Right.
And so immediately, you know, it's like, hey, someone needs to
go. Yeah, there's a problem one way or the other. Yeah.
Somebody's going to kick the pump one way or the other, or I better need to stop and pick one up.
You just reminded me. I know exactly what it was when I had the power. You said a motor running. I had a sewer backup yesterday, and I had the company come out, plug in their damn snake, and ran it for a while. And that was exactly what used the power. So, God.
Send them a bill.
Send them a bill for 3 kilowatts of energy.
But. Yeah, exactly. Well, so instead of – a lot of people aren't very proactive. I mean, let's be honest. Like I said, you know, the whole, you know, okay, the data is there and available. How do I get people to use it? Is there a way, like, is there monitoring built in? Like, can I get some sort of push alert when energy spikes? Is there, like, how can I tailor this for my inherent laziness?
So we've just recently launched push notifications. So you're going to start seeing push notifications, and as we roll out new features, you're going to start seeing all sorts of alerts that say, hey, by the way, just like your cell phone
currently
says, hey, you've used a certain amount of your plan.
Right.
So let's say I want to only use, 30 kilowatt hours a day. You can start getting notifications that says, hey, by the way, you've used, 50% of your plan already. And then, you can set different thresholds so that you can start getting alerts as to, hey, you're getting ahead of your plan earlier in the day. But you can also set up and say, hey, I only want to get that, maybe once a week.
Or, right.
So there's all sorts of ways we're going to let you kind of fine tune how many pushes you get, because nobody wants to get it like, every 15 minutes.
Very, very cool.
I've also noticed you guys have gamified this some. I know gamification is a big thing with any kind of performance, right? Can you tell me a bit about that?
So it's kind of a couple different tiers. So gamification, we really kind of do the goal setting. So set a budget goal or set a usage goal and say, that's what I'm going for. And then we kind of give you the tools to kind of play the game towards that. Now, as you're achieving all those goals, we also say, hey, by the way, here's a challenge. try to only use 15 kilowatts today. Or we usually have an easy, a medium, and a hard challenge every week. So the easy one is usually do something in the app, explore the app, you know, set a goal. You know, that'd be a real simple one. A medium one would be, hey, just use a little bit less energy for one day this week. A bigger goal would be to say, hey, use a lot less energy than you did last year.
Wow.
And so every week we have three challenges, and then you accumulate points. Those points go towards an avatar, and the avatar has some future in it.
Nice.
You get to be a big blue person.
So, wrong avatar.
Oh,
wrong
damn.
Avatar. I know.
I see you, DTE. All right, so phenomenal. I mean, so where do people – it's available multi-platform. Just search on DTE.
So you can go into Apple iTunes or Google Play Store, search for DTE Insight. You can find it through DTE Energy as well. Both apps will come up.
Right.
We're the one with the green icon. The mobile app is the blue icon. That's where you can get the outage map and the mobile pay.
I downloaded it tonight. You need to know your DTEenergy.com login and password.
You need an
That's
online,
all you need to know.
You need an online account. So if you don't have an online account, you have to go through the registration.
Which if you're not paying account. Your bills online, seriously, why are you listening to the
it?
Show?
What year is it?
And then in the app, you can also request an energy bridge. You need to request an energy bridge.
Okay. I've already done it. I downloaded the app. 5 minutes later, I'm requesting an energy bridge.
So, yeah. It is the resolution of the data and what you can learn about your energy is just so finely tuned. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the coolest feature in the whole app.
Okay.
So if you have an iPhone, it's iPhone only.
Get out.
No. You can stay. You can stay.
So if you have an iPhone.
I'm there.
You can go to the tools menu. In the tools menu, there's a feature called Power Scan. And what the guys at Vectorform figured out was how to use the magnetometer in your phone to scan a power cord and tell you how much energy appliance is using.
No.
I've heard that on the commercials.
Way.
So
mind blown.
So
iPhone.
I'll matrix the board real quick here. Let's see.
So the only reason it's limited to the iPhone is because you have to reverse engineer every phone.
Right.
And there's so many Android
inferior
phones.
Devices. I mean, other devices.
So,
whatever iDrone.
We'll just take a power.
What's your car in the parking lot? Which car is yours? Kind of wonder.
It's the Tesla. Begin power scan. Here goes.
Sorry, Neil.
So, on the board there, it's not going to work real well because it's got so many magnetic signatures.
Dude, that is so cool.
So, yeah, what you want to do is put that over the – you want to take your cover off your phone.
Right.
Lay it over a power cord. And what you want to do is position the phone so that the wavy line goes flat. And when it flat lines, it will say, got it. And then I'll tell you how many watts that is.
Dude, that is so cool. Crazy.
Physics in real life.
We're living in the future. The future is now.
Damn it, now I want to go buy
my power
iPhone.
Company does this. Thank you, Joel. Seriously.
I'm not going to lie. Now I'm not as bitter
that you're
spending all the money I send you every month on commercials telling me how awesome you are. I'm not as
bitter. Trying to give me tickets to the game.
Right. Outstanding. So, yes, by all means, go download the app. Anything else we missed, we'll come back into in segment four. Phenomenal. Man, that went well.
Dude, here at the break, I'm going to walk around. I'm checking every device here in the studio. So I'll be back in like, 7 minutes?
Perfect. All right. More. So, hey, this is episode 134 of the IT and the D show. We'll see you in just a minute.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITandTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
All right. So, hey, welcome back to episode 134. We're having a phenomenal time so far tonight. We're going to come back with Dave. Not Dave. I said
Dave.
That one. John from yourcomiccon.com. You've got the Pure Mish Con coming up in April. And obviously, we are a huge fan of cons.
And we like Michigan. We live here.
Yep. And I got both. Cons and Michigan.
So talk to me a little bit about where your Comic-Con, because Bob's like, my Comic-Con? Yes, Bob, your Comic-Con.
Exactly.
So like, what's the concept behind it and what's coming up?
Well, the name just kind of came out of nowhere in some ways. You know, I was doing a convention in my church, the Redford Comic-Con, and people were asking for more and more, so I kind of branched out, and I did a two-day last August.
Give the people what they want.
Yes.
Build it, they will come.
And they did. They did. And so I had to come up with some sort of umbrella to cover the two different named shows.
Right.
And, you know, just bouncing ideas, and I came up with your Comic-Con. And I do want – I take suggestions. They never give them to me, so I must be doing my shows perfectly, but I do ask for them all the time.
So it's April, if I recall correctly.
April 2nd, yes.
Yep. And so, you know, if it's a pure MishCon, so like who's going to be there? Why do people want to put it on the radar?
Well, I have over 60 Michigan creators that are going to be appearing in one place. I have, you know, some comic names known in Michigan, Arvel Jones and Scott Rosema.
Arvel Jones from Misty Knight?
Yes.
Nice.
Co-creator of Misty Knight. Arvel Jones is going to be there. And Gary Reed, president of Caliber Comics, and they have Dead World Zombie Soda and Chips and everything, all Michigan-based, all grown in Michigan. And Caliber has been around since about 1986, I believe.
I went to the premiere for the Dead World Soda thing.
Oh, okay.
We've got one of the guys on our network, Jay Shimko, was one of the artists that did some of the bottles.
See, the only Dead World I've ever been to is a rave that's usually thrown in downtown once a year.
It's no.
It's not that?
No, no, no. Not that, no.
This is delicious soda made in Livonia.
Ooh, Livonia.
So, okay, so like where is it going to be held? What are ticket prices? That sort of stuff.
It's at the Taylor Town Center, which is basically 94 and Telegraph, 94 and E-Course. Ticket prices $5 per person or $15 per family.
I just pulled that up. $5?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is that too cheap?
Yeah, kind of.
I do not ever want to host a show that I cannot afford to go to or set up at. I believe I do have the cheapest prices for tables and, you know, entry.
I don't think I've ever heard type of a show. Con for a $5 entry.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, so we went to Great Lakes, not this past weekend, but the weekend before.
Which correct. Is very reasonably priced, right?
That was $12 at the door, and I was floored by that. You know, you've got the extreme, which is PenguinCon.
Which were like, what, $60 at the door for an entire weekend.
Right. Right.
So like
Friday through Sunday.
Well, but then the trade-off there is there's not only that, but no cost to get signatures from the guests and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, so how is this working? Like, so like the guests that are coming, are they charging for signatures? Or
no,
are they like,
no, none of my guests so far are charging for signatures. As far as I know, none of them have told that.
Okay.
Arvel's actually donating a couple of, you know, sketches for contests and stuff like that.
Call Scott. The bar has been raised.
Sorry, Scott.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Wow.
And yeah, 15 for a family. Usually my family deal is, you know, three entries. So if you got six people in your family, still $15. So.
Dude. I mean, I think about
– that's ridiculous.
I think that's the biggest thing I have against Comic-Cons is I feel like it's a gigantic, crazy money grab.
Well, it's a
nerd ball.
Well, a lot of them have become nerd flea markets. Like they're not even so much Comic-Cons anymore as they are –
and they're expensive as shit.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, they're a media expo, they're, you know, a flea market for the most part. Yeah.
Yep, a lot of them, yeah. You know,
so what's the focus? I mean, obviously Michigan based, but like, so like what kind of focus are you trying to pull into the pure MishCon?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to support Michigan small press. Like I said, over 60 creators, not all comic book. I got five, actors and actresses, you know, that are in the new Batman Superman movie and they've been in other stuff, but that's the comic book related, you know, movie, the Ouellette family, you know, they've been on Chicago PD and Chicago Fire, you know, three kids from this family. And like I said, I want to push comic books. I love to read. I love Michigan. You know, I found a great way to bring them together, I thought.
And so, I mean, it's a one day event.
Correct.
And so without pulling up my calendar here, it's a Saturday?
April 2nd, Saturday. Yes.
Okay. And it, you know, it says it runs from, you know, 10:30 to 6. You've got costume and cosplay. So, I mean, is there a contest for those that want
to
go?
Yeah. Yep. Cosplay is 5:30 to 8.
Okay.
The first time I did it, it shut my show down. I had so many entries. So I had to adjust and make it a little separate. You know, we had 60 entries at my first show. So.
Yeesh.
Some shows limit entries. I want everyone to have fun. I don't care if you bought it at the store on the way into the show. You know, I just want people to have fun at my show. So, yeah, I had to make it separate. The dealers complained that no one was shopping and, you know.
So I'm not familiar with Taylor Towns. I mean, is there going to – like is there – obviously our big concern, is there an after party or are there places nearby where one could be held?
places to consume libations.
I will look into that for my big show in July. But, yeah, I mean, there are places around there. It's kind of like I call it a mini Gibraltar. You know, it's got a – you know, like a flea market type area, and then there's event halls. You know, so I rent either one or both of the event halls depending on my show.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, you know, the one – probably the first show we did, not just from an attending standpoint, but from a podcast Detroit, you know, getting a booth and setting up and bringing out the remote gear was at Gibraltar out in Mount Clemens.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no after party plan, and so Bob took it upon himself to grab the mic out of the person's hand that was running things and announce that the after party would be at the bar across the street. And the first round was on Podcast Detroit. So needless to say, it got a little packed. So as long as there are places in the area, we'll make something happen.
I'll do a little more research.
This is crazy. How did – I mean, looking at your website, there's a lot of different cons you run.
Yes.
Right? So this is not the only – how did you get into this?
I was a bricklayer until 2008 and everything shut down. And my pastor at church knows I love comics. And he's like, you know, why don't you try putting on a show? And I did like 5 shows that year, and then I went through a divorce, which sucks 3 years out of your life.
5 shows your first year. So you were just like, let me dip my toe into this.
No.
Like, let me dive headfirst into this.
I mean, I ran a store for 10 years. I've been attending shows for 35, you know. So, I mean, I at least had an idea of, you know, what you should do a little bit, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, last year I did a March show, you know, coming back. You know, divorce is final. You know, let's try the show thing. And yeah, people were clamoring.
I can make money again safely.
Yes. Yep. And, ding, ding, ding. And yeah, I was turning away dealers. You know, I mean, a 30-table waiting list for a 30-table show just seemed kind of extreme for me. So
how big is this? Like, how many tables are going to be there? How many guests are going to be there? Like, you know, cards on table. We were yakking before the show, and I hooked you up with Jay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yep.
One of our buddies who, you know, former wrestler Eddie Venom, who now does, he was an extra in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
He's on the WGN series, The Outsiders, as a stuntman. Hopefully he'll wind up being there. I hope that works out.
I still have a few available spaces.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, how many, like, what am I walking into when I walk in?
I'll have 78 to 85 tables, depending on the exact setup. I always leave a couple tables open because I might forget someone, and a last minute guest. I've had people call me the night before and, you know, that I want there. So I would leave a little space. But yeah, 80 tables basically.
And damn it, another weekend. I'm blocking off of my calendar. We're going to need a table.
I have a podcast panel I'll be, you know, doing. So. More than welcome.
Oh, absolutely. We should
more
be there.
More than welcome. Yeah.
But people tell us we don't know anything about podcasting.
No, they don't tell. They just tell us we always do it wrong. Oh, that's, yeah. Where we,
then
we,
then I definitely want you there.
We've apparently done it wrong. We've broken every rule, even though we didn't know there were rules. Yeah. So. So
I'm making this up as I go along, and I've been doing pretty well. So what's
phenomenal. We're in. I'm not going to lie. I'm still hung up on $5 and people aren't charging for autographs. Like any big names that people would know and be aware of.
I'm working on a couple, some last minute, you know, people. I really am working on some bigger names for my July show. I'm doing a 2-day show.
Okay, so let's talk about that one.
Yeah, that's just the big show. I'm calling it
right.
My biggest show ever.
Welcome to the big show.
Yep. About 19,000 square feet.
Good God.
That's my house.
Right.
Your indoor pool.
Right.
Your life would be a lot more complicated right now if that were true, I assure you.
and every show I go to, I'm always I go to shows now to recruit guests, and you know,
I can pick. You were there in Lansing.
Yeah, yep. I was in Lansing. Walk around. I talked to Ken. I'm horrible with names. The Disney guy, Ken.
Yeah.
I talked to Brimstone, and I talked to Mike Grell, and yeah. So I'm always out recruiting, looking for the next guy.
We might have an in for you with Brimstone if you want him there.
Beautiful.
So,
yeah.
All right. So it's a Saturday only show. I mean, is there like? So it's $5. Even with the less expensive, like, is there an all day, like a VIP pass?
Use the restroom?
There are shows that do early bird specials, which I don't understand. You know, I let everyone at the same time, same price, you know. The July show, there'll be a 2-day pass. I'm still setting prices for that, but
okay.
They're going to be just as reasonable as this. You know?
So what are you working on for that show? I mean, like, you know, so I, obviously that's, you know, and we're familiar with it, where, you know, from our monthly networking events versus our pink slip parties.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that goes into that. So, you know, what are you working on for that?
We're going to have a charity auction is already lined up.
Okay.
You know, all comic book related items. You know, I'm talking to some of the artists, you know, get them to donate some sketches and stuff for the charity auction. There's going to be a couple different charities. I know one will be animal-based, like Humane Society, something like that. My mom died of cancer, so I might, you know, set something like that. But
mine too.
Negotiations and stuff like that. It's crazy. But, so going to do that. Going to have a few, maybe a martial arts demonstration and maybe some wrestling demonstrations. You know, you never know.
May not have an in there for you.
Yeah. These guys may or may not professionally wrestling. You know,
and then, you know, it's going to be one event hall and one like dealer room. So it's going to be, you know, cosplay events, you know, and panels, you know, again, I'm going to have an acting panel for sure. You know, the local actors in Michigan. So,
which is still a huge talk. I mean, even with, you know, all of the incentives and that kind of stuff under debate and mostly going away and that, I mean, there's still there's a great industry that built up here that's kind of hanging on by their fingernails.
It hasn't gone away, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, all the performers are definitely – they're out there running around trying to get parts. And Superman, Batman, you know, filmed by where I work downtown, you know, over the summer.
They did some filming at the Russell. That's where our old studio was.
Yeah, we're by the Ham, Mike's
Ham. Okay.
You know, I work right by there at Churchill Transportation. So,
Yeah, we had a great time for a few weeks actually getting into our studio because studio security was floating around and didn't want to let us in and get up, mall, rent a cop, get me.
What do you do when I smack you and walk by?
Yeah, exactly. Watch as I'm carrying my cooler full of growlers. Get away from me. So
over there.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Elvis. I guess you're on that side. Like from a con perspective, what have you noticed as a trend? Because like I've noticed a few things as trends in the con industry over the past couple of years, in particular. Like, what are you seeing as far as what more people are either looking for or looking to find more of or less of when it comes to the con scene?
I mean, honestly, they're looking for a lot less comics. It's easier to collect Harlequin as a toy because there's 10 toys, but to try and get every appearance of Harlequin or the Joker or whatever, you know, that can take years. Everyone loves the characters, but the comic books themselves are kind of, you know, fading in some ways. You know, you go see the movie, you don't need to read the comic, you know, but everyone knows Batman, everyone knows, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy now and stuff like that.
The millions of Marvel shows that are on ABC.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know, they're collecting items and the characters, but not necessarily the comics as much.
Dude, that's so interesting.
I think publication for a solid comic like Thor is about 25,000 a month. You know, they used to be publishing, you know, a million a month. You know,
we just got asked by one of our listeners if you were going to have a mechanical bull at any of your upcoming comics.
Which is maybe the big show, which in July.
A really great segue. So, I mean, where next, right? So you've got these shows. What are your plans for next year? Where do you want to take this?
I just signed Ypsilanti, a venue in Ypsilanti. We're doing a little convention March 19th. So in a couple of weeks, it's at a church. And I'm already looking at a larger venue there. I really want to make Pure Mishcon. You know, it's going to be an annual event until I go broke. But, I mean, I really want it to be a big show, you know, just – I mean,
so let's avoid future divorces because that contributes to that.
Yeah, I'm not getting married this week, that's for sure. So, I really want that to be a big, you know, long-term event, the Pure Michigan. Comics have been around in Michigan forever. The first conventions were held in Detroit. You know, a lot of rich history.
You know, so. we've talked about that before, and that's like one of the things that people don't know is that, you know, Sheldor,
yeah.
you know, did Detroit Fanfare out here,
yep.
then moved to San Diego
yeah.
and started the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yep.
You know, so that, you know, that's the huge show. That's the one that everybody talks about.
Should've been
still
here.
Has its roots here.
Yep.
You know, and honestly, I mean, that's like, that's one of the things that I've noticed over the past couple of years in particular is that every time, like, it's so much easier to find a con now.
Yeah,
there's weekend. Something going on every weekend, whether it's a VFW hall, a trade center, a church, something.
Yeah.
There's somebody putting on a con of varying levels of interest and you know, and professionalism. But there's something going on every single weekend these days.
Yeah, it is crazy. Someone asked me, you know, Shotokan's going on in Lansing, which is an anime convention.
Right.
The same weekend as my Ypsilanti. And I'm like, you know, to get an open venue and an open date without any other competing shows, almost impossible.
Good luck with
these
that.
Days.
Yeah.
I think about that when we're doing Archon, PingoCon, it's the same thing. It's like, all right, so who's graduating when?
Yeah.
What other shows are going on? And it's getting harder and harder to find a weekend when nothing goes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I did a show last year and it was Michigan State football game day.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
You know, it's really great.
Bring in the big screens and make sure it's playing. That's all.
It's really great, though, John, to see you doing this, and it's obvious that you're passionate about this.
Oh, yeah.
For the right reasons, and you're throwing a good event at a good price. So thanks for kind of keeping the
yeah.
team alive here in Michigan.
Like I said, I don't want to host a show I can't afford to go to.
Well, and that's like I brought my son to his first little con a couple weeks back, and just to watch his eyes light up. At the amount of stuff, like, and it was a small one. I mean, it was at a church. It was like, you know, church basement kind of thing.
Yep.
Maybe 20 tables. You know, not that huge by any stretch. But he was just in it. Like, you know, I brought him to his first comic book store last year.
Yeah.
This was his first con. You know, this is probably the first year I'm going to take him over to Motor City. That's what they. If you're going to have the next generation come up and still get this stuff and still appreciate this stuff. You have to make it affordable to do so.
Yep, for
you know,
sure.
It can't be $60, $80 for a one-day pass.
Honestly, I can't afford to go to Motor City. It's over $100 for me and my boys to walk in there.
Yeah.
And then what am I going
to
do?
It's getting to the point. It's like going to a Wings game or a Tigers game.
Yeah,
God,
yeah.
I just want to – yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is also a public service message. You said that comic books are dying. It's like, hey, parents, take your kids. Show them the love of comic books like your parents showed you. Keep this stuff alive because this is
you
such
know
an
parents.
Part.
That's what
parents
I took my kid to see
time.
Star Wars like my father before me.
Yes,
I took my kid to a comic book store like my father before.
Parents
me.
Parents would ask me, "What comic can I buy that'll pay my kid's college education in 20?" I said, "Buy him one every week and let him read, and he'll get a scholarship, and that'll
right.
pay for the college education."
Well, and honestly, I mean, like that's it is. I mean, it's a monthly trip. I
yep.
mean, that's we hit the local comic book store by our house every single month now. And if I have stuff going on, they make sure I know that still has to be on the agenda.
It's Comic Saturday, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. It's time to go. All right. So where do we go ahead? I want to make sure we. So John, where do we find out about all the events you have going on? You know, including obviously the Pure MishCon in April, and then the bigger one coming up. But so like, where can I find all of the stuff that you have going on?
Yeah, it's yourcomiccon.com. You know, it's simple on Facebook and on, you know, just the. You type in yourcomiccon.com and my website will pop up everywhere, or Redford Comic Con, or Taylortown Comic Con, or Ypsilanti Comic Con.
Take it over the world.
Very, very cool.
Yeah,
all right. Well, hey, thanks for coming out. We're going to be coming back with segment four. We had Billy Strotter, who just randomly showed up at the studio.
Hi, Mom.
I love it when Billy shows up.
So, yeah, we'll be talking with him and just doing a recap on everything else we have going on, and as well as our event coming up on Thursday night. So, hey, this is episode of 134 of the IT in the D show, and we'll see you in just a sec.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back to episode 134 of IT in the D. We are chilling out in our safe space above Activate Gaming here in our Ferndale studios. I am Nuri the FNG, also here with Dave the Geek. Bob, the sales guy, is doing sales guy-y stuff in Miami.
Exactly. I believe it's appropriate for us to now question his location because we did that to you while you were gone.
Oh, is he really in Miami?
Is it really business?
Is it really scantily clothed women on the beach? I don't know, Bob. Is it?
Spring break equals sales conference for some strange reason.
Dude, it is spring break.
Whoa, did not God. Even put that together, Bob you dick.
Anyway, check us out on iTunes. If you have not left a review for us, we'd totally appreciate you leaving us a review. We do most of our stuff through SoundCloud, but we're also on iTunes. So if you're there, leave us a message. Let us know what you think of our meatball subs.
Absolutely.
And don't forget this Thursday night at 5 o'clock, if you are looking for a job, if you want to network, if you want to just hang out and eat pizza with cool people.
Or if you're looking to hire people.
Yeah. We're at the Majestic Theater in Detroit off of Woodward Avenue, the most screwed up road in the entire world.
Oh, I'm so there.
But we're there between 5 and 9. And there'll be
– because traffic.
And there'll be pizza and there'll be Ghostbusters and there'll be me spinning some deep house. So come on out and hang out with us for a couple hours.
Should be a good time.
Should be a good time. So we're here with Billy Strotter, one of the
Hi guys.
Friends of our podcast for forever. Thanks for dropping by.
You're welcome. Without calling. I was just randomly driving down 75 and I just sent a message like, hey, can I stop by?
Duh.
I'm glad you did.
So am I.
The answer is always yes.
Yes.
If you send me a message, I'd make you dinner. I'd be like, oh, Billy's coming over. Let me put an extra plate.
He's like, I would have sent the message sooner.
Yeah, let me make sure the keg's working. Life's good. So, Bill, we were having, as always, the most fascinating conversations always happen during the break. So, Billy, I will let you go ahead and take the floor and intro this.
Well, I was just talking to Dave about the idea on Sunday. Stephen Hendrickson was on Meet the Press, and he was having a conversation, and Mary Madeline made a comment on, I would like to choke you, which was just kind of like, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Want to choke you.
Is that like funny ha-ha or like, hey, this milk smells funny?
Right. And so it's just an interesting conversation on race and, you know, where are we today? And so my initial thought in
– Wait. So Billy, right. Wait. So, but Obama's president. Didn't that solve everything?
Yes.
He said sarcastically.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Billy Strotter Jr. is black. I may not sound that way, which is another conversation that we can have some other time. But the idea was that, you know, I looked at it and I'm like, all right, wait. So we've come so far in a way that, you know what, she felt comfortable just saying to another person, you know
let's go ahead and get this other. The views and opinions expressed during this segment do not necessarily represent all the views and opinions owned by the IT and the D show. Go.
Yeah, I even hit the bell on that.
Yeah. No synchronicity.
So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, all right, so is this an indication on just how far we've come where she's looking at him and saying, you know what, you're just another reporter that I'm thinking, you know what, that's just an idiot.
You're a colleague, yeah.
Right. So –
like us sitting around a bar, Billy, I would choke the life out of you right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so on one hand, I can see that. But someone else, you know, brought me aside and they were like, hey, you know what? The thing is that while it's okay for her to say that, if you flip it around, could Stephen have said to her, I want to choke you?
Nope.
Yeah. And so that is where we still have a problem today.
Because right? Suddenly because he's angry black man.
Because it doesn't flow both ways.
Right.
Right. And that's the challenge with the conversations that we're trying to have. And that's why it's so difficult. And that's why we haven't moved as far as I would like.
Especially here. How many times have we had this conversation here in the Metro Detroit area?
Right. Well, yeah, we're like three blocks from the hard border.
Dude, not three, one. Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I'm still a little sore from the mechanical bull ride. I could still hit 8 Mile
with
a rock.
Amazing, by the way. I still am like feeling giggles in all of the places from watching you watch that ride that mechanical.
I'm not gonna lie. And the best part about that is that happened at 8:45 p.m. and that was the early part of the evening, and it only went downhill from there. But no, it's such a, you know. A year ago, you know, I published, you know, the whole thing about if you don't like the change coming to Detroit, get involved. And that turned into such a thing.
I was involved in that.
I know you were. You came with me to Flashpoint. That's right. You came with me to WDIV to hang out in the green room, you know, going on Flashpoint to talk about that because it became such a thing. Why? That's what I keep coming back to is that, like, and that's my frustration with all this is why can't we just have these conversations as colleagues, as people?
Sure.
I'm not going to lie. You know, if somebody popped a recorder in the middle of the conversations of like you, Bob, and I sitting at Cicerelli's, you know, after the Pistons game, we'd all be on Flashpoint all over again.
Exactly. You know, I think it, you know, it comes down to perspective. I mean, it's really difficult to put ourselves in the position of other people, right? Until you've experienced what someone else has gone through, you can be like, you know what? I'm really sorry that you've been through that. I don't really know how that feels, right?
And so I get it.
Right.
Because I don't get it.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's where we find ourselves quite often. And, so I'm pulling out my phone because my memory is awful as I've turned 42. So John
– happens to the best of us.
Hope Bryant was the keynote speaker for the Detroit Policy Conference.
Right.
And he just talked about some really interesting concepts and the idea that he made a comment where he said that if you look at writing, that writing typically happens in neighborhoods. He's like, it doesn't happen in neighborhoods with a 700 – credit score. He's like, almost all riots happen in neighborhoods that have a credit score of 500 or lower, and that it comes down. And so I wanted to send the dude an email, which seems logical, but at the same time I was like, wait, but what about the dudes that riot when someone runs a hockey game?
Vancouver,
San Francisco, when they like toilet paper.
Right. That's right. Those damn Canadians in Vancouver.
I'm pretty sure that they have a credit score a little bit higher than 500. Right. So not all of the concepts are right on, but I understand what he's saying, that it's all about opportunity. Right.
Right.
And when people don't have hope and they don't have opportunity, that's one of the things that's dangerous. Right. I mean, are we putting ourselves in a position where when people don't have opportunities, are we looking out for the little guys? And that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about small businesses and the things that – like TechTown, right? So we have our office at TechTown, and one of the things that's great about what they do in economic development is that they go out into the neighborhoods. And they believe that it's one neighborhood at a time that you make change.
Yep. So, you know, I'm not going to lie. So I can't get into a whole lot of specifics just yet, but we had a phenomenal meeting Friday. About the, you know, we have the Career Academy thing that we have going on where, so, you know, if you go to vip.careeracademy.com/ITinTheD, for $29 a year, you get access to 1,100 plus online courses. You get all kinds of continuing education credits, PDUs, like if you're a PMP, that kind of stuff. You can get an associate's degree. An associate's degree from an accredited university for $29 a year.
We had is that real?
No, it really is real, oh. Dude. Which is part of the – so Friday we had this great conversation about how to get that more blown out and more widely known. And we think the initial steps are there to start making that happen.
Anything I can do at my shows, man.
Well, so that's the thing, man. So here's the thing. Like you look at – a lot of the, you know, stereotypical that are known out there, training academies, you know, it's $5,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 for a single cert. And a single cert isn't even going to get you where you need to be. You need 3 or 4 or 5 to make that career transition. Like, because our whole thing is, again, it's all about that opportunity. Like, right. Our whole thing is the path. You know, it's so, you know, we have so many people that are like, look, I get it. My job, my career is now dead. I need to get into IT. How do I do that? And so, you know, we've written an article. We've set all this stuff up about, you know, here's the path. Here's how you get into that. And we've walked, you know, 20-odd people through it, you know, like held their hands as we've gone through this. Including, you know, again, it's a shame Bob's not here. His cousin Chet. 3 years ago, Chet was painting floors. That was his job. He was the epoxy guy. you know, walked in with, you know, a
fun
big
job,
a big
it.
Stick and rollers, you know, and that's what he did.
Some sarcasm.
Yeah. No,
horrible job.
And, you know, and but that's, you know, and he came to us and said, you know, I want to get out of this. I want to start doing something better. And we set him on the path. So we're now 3 years in with him. He just took a job damn near 60K with Comerica. You know, so I mean it's wow. – and that's 3 years in.
Right.
You know, so I mean you – yeah, you've got to do the time and yeah, it's – you know, you have to want it and you have to apply yourself for it.
You're also not breathing epoxy fumes.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but if we take that a step further, I mean if we think about what happened there is everyone needs a champion.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, when you look at, you know, kids that are – we tend to put programs together for kids that are, we already know are going to succeed.
Yep.
Right? But who's looking out for the kids that are getting, you know, B minuses and Cs and Ds?
Yeah, that are on that borderline and, or below.
Right. And just showing them that, you know what, there are opportunities for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so –
you don't have to go to Harvard.
No. No, but you just need to know that there are opportunities there for you.
Well, you know, and honestly, I mean, like that's the biggest thing to me is like, you know, there are so many programs out there. You know, in fact, you know, one of the conversations we were having is there's a great program from the state right now that's been running for a couple of years that if you want to get your staff those same kind of certs and you know and get them trained or retrained or whatever. I keep coming back to – I had a conversation with a VP of IT from a fairly large company you know, here in the Metro Detroit area who at the start of our conversation was bemoaning the fact that they had just laid off like 40 mainframe devs. And then a half an hour later in that same conversation was bemoaning the fact that they couldn't find front-end Java.NET devs. And I was like – dude, I want you to take this with every ounce of support that I can possibly muster when I say this, but you're an effing moron.
Yeah. I don't think you actually said effing. But.
No, I didn't.
Does it make it better if I – like with all due respect.
Yeah. Exactly. With all due respect, I'm about to piss you off.
Sir.
But yes, sir. But no, because I mean I'm like there are programs from the state. Like you could have taken those 40 people that know – and that's like, that is the biggest challenge. They know your back-end systems. They know the big iron that powers your company. There's a program out there from the state that you could have turned them into front-end devs where the state would have paid for their training and would have paid 80% of their salary while they were in the training. It doesn't get any better than that. And then you would have had that purple squirrel that everybody's looking for, a front-end dev that knows big iron mainframe systems. What's wrong with you? And like it was like, dude, I didn't know that program was out there. I'm like, you're a VP of IT at a major freaking company here in the area, and you don't know that problem's out there?
Google search.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, you know,
shame on the people putting those programs together that he didn't know that.
Right. And I, you know what, I'm going to actually address that because one of the issues that we were having is, you know, within our own agency is the struggle to create diversity. Like I look around at my team and I'm like, there are not a lot of people that look like me. Yeah. And so I reached out to someone that was part of the Detroit Revitalization.
Okay.
Right. And so I'm like, you know, how did you guys address that? And so the feedback they gave me was we went to where people are. Right. And it never clicked to me. And that's one of the things I talk about in social media. You guys have heard me talk about it on a regular basis is that as a company, when you're thinking about using social media, you go to the places where people spend their time.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's,
so
it's,
if
it's,
I'm looking to hire
it's
someone,
us with our podcast. We may not care about the Zune store.
Right.
But they take an RSS feed.
You just said Zune.
We put it. It's there.
Right.
We've picked up three listeners from it. But those are three listeners we didn't have before.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you establish a beachhead wherever the people are.
Right. Yeah. And so that's just it's so important to do that. And I just, you know, hadn't even – it's amazing that I didn't even think about that, which is one of the reasons why I love the Grow Detroit Young Talent program.
Yep.
Right? Because that's an opportunity to show kids there are opportunities for you. right? And there are all of these companies that are giving jobs to kids throughout the summer for a 6-week program, and they get to experience something that's unlike anything that they've ever had an opportunity to do before.
I mean, I think of our friends at Focus Hope. I think about our friends at Girl Develop It.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many programs out there for kids and for women and for, I mean, pretty much anybody who wants to get involved with it.
Right. Yeah. But it's just making sure that people know that those programs are aware.
That's the biggest challenge is you know, and we do. I mean, we joke about, oh, we're running a 5K for awareness. Everybody knows about breast cancer now. We all know it's there. we get it. But, you know, stuff like this, I mean, people don't have, you know, the awareness of the programs that are out there and available to help people, which sucks.
Yeah. Certainly frustrating, and there's no easy answer, but certainly bringing awareness to that and just getting as many people involved as possible. So one of the things that I'm doing is I'm working with – so I'm going through Leadership Detroit right now. And one of the things that I've done is I reached out to a few schools and I'm like, listen, I just want to bring some of these students in from inner city schools to my company so that they can see someone that looks just like them running a business so that they know that there's an opportunity for them that they may not have considered.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what's – it's again, it's like one of those things where people want – they don't necessarily see opportunities for them if they don't see people like them doing it.
Right.
And so it's on me to give back to the next generation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's all I've got, man. I was like just driving by and I was like, I'm going to stop by. So I'm –
and just drop bombs and get deep.
See, that's I had a big speech planned for this fourth segment and you ruined it.
Damn, Billy, I mean, this is like what you talk about when you drop by. I hate to think about what you talk about when you actually are scheduled in there.
I think it's really deep. I talk about absolutely nothing.
I'm like, honestly, that's usually just, hashtags and crap. That's usually what he talks about then.
So this is why.
When he's actually motivated to come in, there's a drive.
Stop by because your conversations are way better.
And so we're apparently never scheduling you again.
Right,
exactly. We'll just wait for the random Facebook message.
Right. No, we love it. That's so cool.
No, very cool. All right. Well, hey, we are coming up against the end of episode 134 of the IT and the D Show. Let's take one trip around the room. John, where do people find out about all the Comic-Con stuff you have going on?
YourComicCon.com or RedfordComicCon@gmail.com.
Okay. Very cool. Joel, where do we find DTE?
So you can go to the iTunes Store or Google Play Store. Search for DTE Insight or DTE Energy. Download the app.
And then grab that bridge.
Grab the energy bridge from within the app.
Dude,
grab
it all. It's so cool. I've been walking around the studio. I'm like, ooh, the coffee pot uses 10 watts of power. I'm like, God.
Screw you, Tony.
I love it.
For bringing a coffee. And then Billy, obviously, where do we find all the stuff you have going on?
Yeah, you can find me at Social Coop Media. Social Coop is COOP. And then I am BJ Strotter, Strawter on all the social media things.
Very
Bob,
cool.
We miss you so much.
Not really.
I
think we did okay without him tonight.
We did.
All right. So, hey, again, episode 134 of the IT and the D Show is coming to a close. Don't forget, Thursday night we will be at the Majestic Theater, taking that over for one of our infamous pink slip parties.
Be there.
Hope we see you there. It should be a great, great night. And we have a lot of fun stuff coming up in coming weeks. We have some great guests. I think we're already booked out through the end of April this point.
So drink up your drinks and do your stuff and phone numbers and blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 Bob.
Beat it.
All right. See you, everybody.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out!
take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right. Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up. Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.